In early 2021, Mercedes-Benz announced their new flagship electric sedan called the EQS. This was supposed to be the Tesla killer. It was fully electric, highly luxurious, and came in at the same price range as the Tesla Model S and S Plaid. And to Mercedes' credit, the inside truly looked insane. It was like a white snow fantasy with beautiful stitching patterns and elegant wood. There were a few gimmicks like the hyperscreen, which they like to say is a 56-inch display, when really it's just three smaller displays under the same piece of glass. The RGB LED lighting may have also been a bit over the top, but for the most part, the interior was very fitting of carrying the S-Class name. And then there was the exterior. There was really no way to put it other than it was ugly. In an effort to reduce drag and increase aerodynamics by as much as possible, Mercedes threw design appeal completely out the window and focused purely on aerodynamics. And here's the thing, when someone is spending over $100,000 on a luxury sedan, they very much care about how it looks, not just its fuel efficiency. In fact, fuel efficiency is probably the last thing they care about, and unsurprisingly, EQS sales were terrible. In 2022, they only sold a total of 23,400 EQS sedans, and in 2023, this dropped substantially to only 14,100. And if you were one of the few people who bought the sedan, you got annihilated by depreciation. Everyone knows that luxury cars depreciate fast, but the EQS was unlike anything we've ever seen before. Within just the first year, the car fell by 47.8%, meaning that you were able to find EQSs selling for less than $50,000. For perspective, that's only $13,000 more than a maxed out Toyota Camry for an S-Class. Little to say, the EQS was the biggest flop of recent times for Mercedes. And this struggle to transition to electric has left the company stagnant. Their revenue is at the same place it was 10 years ago, their stock hasn't done anything in the past 7 years, and most importantly, they're tarnishing the Mercedes name with plain ugly vehicles. Things are so bad that Mercedes is completely ditching the EQ lineup. So here's the full story of the Mercedes EV disaster. If you're interested in deeper dives, interviews with insiders, and exclusive tech analysis, consider subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. But anyway, the story of Mercedes EV woes can be traced back to the retirement of Dieter Zetsche. Zetsche was the iconic Mercedes CEO with the big white mustache that made Mercedes into the modern status symbol that it is. He was with Daimler since 1976 and became CEO in 2006, right before the 2008 financial crisis. His first course of action was getting rid of a toxic asset, Chrysler, which for some reason they used to own. And to give you more context as to just how poorly Chrysler was performing, well, they would go bankrupt just days after the split was finalized. So almost immediately, Zetsche went down as the guy who finally freed Mercedes from Chrysler, but this was just his first grand move. He would go on to navigate Mercedes through the 08 financial crisis and overtake BMW as the best-selling premium car maker in 2016. So little to say, Zetsche was a shareholder favorite, but after spending over 40 years at Mercedes / Daimler, Zetsche decided to retire, leading us to a new CEO in 2019, Ola Källenius. Ola was also no stranger to Mercedes, he had been around since his 20s in the early 1990s, but his upcoming task was unlike anything he had ever worked on. You see, in late 2019, Tesla announced the Cybertruck, which garnered an unprecedented number of pre-orders and kicked off the 2020/2021 EV boom. EV startups like Rivian and Lucid exploded. In fact, at one point, Rivian was worth over $150 billion, which is double what Mercedes is currently worth. With that being said, Ola had an insane amount of pressure to not only prove himself as the new CEO and live up to Zetsche's legacy, but also make Mercedes relevant in the booming EV landscape. So he looked at what all EV startups were doing, and they were not only electrifying vehicles, but also modernizing vehicles. A lot of modern EVs don't have on-off buttons, for example. They all also had super over-engineered door handles, and everything in the car had to be controlled using the big iPad in the middle, including simple things like positioning the air vents. Likely the most noticeable aspect, however, was their bold designs. they didn't have front grills and they strived to look modern. Rivians, for example, have that iconic light bar in the front, and the Teslas have the highly divisive bare-bones interiors. It wasn't just these EV startups that were redesigning their cars either. So were legacy automakers, specifically their German neighbors, Volkswagen. And keep in mind, when the Volkswagen Group makes a decision, it flows down to Volkswagen, Audi, Lamborghini, Bentley, and Porsche. Now, it should be noted that some legacy automakers like Toyota, Honda, and Nissan chose to take things slow. But as a new CEO with much to prove, Ola naturally went down the path of embracing EVs. We saw headlines like, Mercedes-Benz prepares to go all electric, and investments of 60 billion euros. With all this hype and investment, you would think that Mercedes was about to launch the next big thing. But what we got instead was the EQS in 2021, leading us into the EQ disaster. The EQS was just the beginning of the EQ disaster. Over the next few years, Mercedes would bring out EQ variants of most of their best-selling models. This included the EQB, the EQE sedan, and the EQE SUV. All of them had smooth front bumpers and terrible egg-shaped designs. And this was especially problematic with super high-end vehicles like the Mercedes-Benz EQS Maybach SUV. This was a car that started at $180,000 and looked like this. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there is something inherently wrong with egg-shaped designs. It's likely that some of you even like the design, and some automakers actually pull off the design rather well, like Lucid. The Lucid Air launched with the best drag coefficient on the market, and it looks like this, not like this. The other thing to keep in mind is the type of person that buys cars that cost over $100,000. These people are usually not looking for the best aerodynamics or the best fuel economy. They're looking for the most badass car on the market, and frankly, this is simply not it. Mercedes should know this more than anyone, given that they have a full sub-brand called AMG, which is known for its aggressive styling. And let's not forget the G-Wagon. The G-Wagon, like the Hummer, is known for being a big, fat brick status symbol. And while many people hate this about G-Wagons, G-Wagon buyers usually love it. So it really just comes down to knowing your demographic and giving them what they want. This was something that GM actually did really well with the Hummer EV. Instead of trying to make it a fuel-efficient, modern, sleek EV, GM decided to make it the most brash, over-the-top brick they could. And they ended up with a vehicle that's so wide that you need a special license to drive it in much of Europe, weighing in at an obnoxious 9,000 pounds. Now, the Hummer EV didn't have insane top-line sales numbers because it appeals to such a niche portion of the population. But within that population, it's doing quite well. It's the same thing with the Ford F-150 Lightning. The regular Ford F-150 has been America's best-selling vehicle for 41 years, and Ford knew not to mess with that. With the Lightning, they kept everything essentially the same, other than the fact that the vehicle was now electric. The Lightning and the Hummer EV show just how well these companies understand their core demographics. The EQ lineup, on the other hand, shows just how poorly Mercedes understands theirs. For whatever reason, brands like Mercedes went down the path of thinking that electrification efforts had to be paired with modernization efforts. And to put it bluntly, they basically ended up with Toyota Priuses with insane interior quality and design. No wonder this didn't appeal to Mercedes buyers. Despite the early red flags though, Mercedes kept moving forward with the EQ lineup, leading us to the electric G-Wagon or the EQG. The G-Wagon is arguably Mercedes' most iconic vehicle, and as we previously mentioned, one of its core selling points is that it's a brash brick with terrible fuel efficiency. If you take these factors out, it's no longer a real G-Wagon, and this is what Mercedes eventually came up with. It was nowhere near as bad as the EQS or the EQS Maybach, as it still retained the essence of a G. With that being said though, it did also come with weird quirks like the square wheel case in the back and of course the smooth front bumper. It wasn't clear how many AMG G63 fans would actually switch over to this electric version, but here's the good news. The original EQG was revealed way back in September of 2021, and it wasn't slated to come out till late 2024. So Mercedes had plenty of time to see the terrible reception of their other EQ vehicles and completely shift course, which is exactly what they've done. Mercedes has tried to keep the fact that they're ditching their EQ lineup as quiet as possible. For one, they don't want to admit that the EQ push was a massive failure and that they're backtracking. And two, they don't want to drive EQ vehicle prices lower than they already are. So instead, they're trying to quietly walk away from EQ. The news originally came 3 months ago in the form of rumors from Mercedes dealers. Apparently, they had been notified that the EQ branding would soon be phased out. And just a month ago, Mercedes confirmed this with how the EQG actually turned out. For starters, it's no longer even called the EQG. Instead, Mercedes is calling it the G580 with EQ technology. Also, Mercedes has completely reversed track on the styling. It's no longer gonna be the futuristic silver and black. It's actually gonna be regular colors like black, white, blue, gray, and a sand color. Also, Mercedes has not only walked back the EV styling, but they're even offering customers the option to completely remove EV styling. For example, you know the flat grille section? Well, it can apparently be spec'd to have a regular looking grille and front bumper. Also, you know the weird square wheel case? Well, it can be spec'd to be a regular circular wheel case with an actual spare wheel. Mercedes is basically offering customers the option to buy a regular G550 that just happens to be electric. And the feedback so far seems to be much more reassuring. Now do this with all the other cars in the lineup. I hate the jelly bean life. Definitely a smart move, will lower their emissions by a bunch, and most new G-Wagon owners aren't off-roading them, so the range won't matter. If they stop selling the gas ones completely, it might harm them long term, but I don't think it's really an issue. What's even more indicative is that the few negative comments we're still seeing have to do with the EQG remnants, specifically the front and the square wheel case. The front looks like the Comic Sans of car grills. It bothers me the rear spare tire slash wheel is just for show and actually a charger. Mercedes executives have also confirmed that they're taking feedback about X-shaped styling very seriously. This is probably why they're doing a facelift for the EQS that brings back the race star and a fake front wheel. Looking forward though, they still have a long way to go when it comes to electrifying their entire fleet in a tasteful manner. Mercedes is aiming to bring out a more traditional replacement for the EQS in 2028. So EQ vehicles will probably be around for the rest of the decade. But at least Mercedes is acknowledging their missteps and trying to make things right. And that is what happened with the Mercedes-Benz EQ disaster. Are you a fan of modern egg-shaped car designs? Comment that down below. Also, if you're interested in having companies pay you, check out our bond investing platform, Silo, in the description below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.